One thing John said that stuck out to me almost immediately was, it's time to trust, or he said, lean on Jesus. And I know the circumstances were entirely different, but I don't even like to think about the number of times that I got to that point where John said, I need to trust in Jesus. I had it all figured out. I don't know, maybe you've never done that. But I have this plan, I. And so today, we're here looking at the scriptures, and I've titled this message, A Humble Servant. Now, what is that? Well, hopefully the Lord will bring that out in a moment, but at this point, I would like to have Brian come up, and he is going to read the scriptures, and we'll start there, and then he will finish with the Lord's Prayer.
I've never been on the business end like this.
We shouldn't hold it until the green light comes on.
Green light. Hey, good morning, everybody. I need to read John 12. Feedback already. John 12, 12 to 19. This is the word of the Lord. On the next day, the great multitude who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him, and began to cry out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. These things his disciples did, not understanding at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. And so the multitude who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, were bearing him witness. For this cause also the multitude went out and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. The Pharisees therefore said to one another, You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him. That's John 12, 12 through 19. And then Jerry asked me to read the Lord's Prayer. I have a confession to make. I was raised Presbyterian, and I always get the order messed up on all the different clauses of the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if any of you guys ever do. I can usually do the whole thing. It's just all, oh yeah, left that one out. Oh yeah, so I'm going to read it. Confessions of a former Presbyterian. Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brian. So as we look at this passage, it's a very familiar passage, and it can become so familiar that when you look at it again, it's like, well, I've heard that almost every Palm Sunday since I've been going to church. And how do you really bring out something that everyone's familiar with? But I just want to share a few thoughts and things with you today that the Lord shared with me through His Holy Spirit. And I want us to all to remember that song where the one line says, Death is defeated, the King is alive. Now think about that. Now, what I have discovered is what I believe and what's in my heart is what I think about. And what I think about most is what I act upon. And then from there, I become what the Father wants me to be. And I believe that's what works for all of us. But I also understand that along the way, there's all of the, I call them the distractions of the world. And this week in the news was very distracting in many ways. Very real. And when you consider a shooting and a storm and a tornado and all these things coming at us, and we have the technology now that it's just continuous. It never stops. And so it affects our thinking. And it can become difficult to, as John said, lean on or trust in the Lord. You can become immersed in the circumstances. And so I want to share with you a quote that came to me. And so in introducing this quote, I want us to remember, according to Colossians 1:17, that Jesus existed before anything else. Now think about that. You can question that, but the only question I have is, do you believe that? And if you carry that on, it says, and he holds all creation together. Now, if I take that literally, that means the reason I'm standing here today is because he is holding me together. Now, I'm sure you could get into a lot of, we could get into a lot of scientific discussions on all those types of things. But there's only one thing that matters to me, is that I believe that. And so that affects my thinking. That's why I'm here. So let me share this quote from C.S. Lewis in his book, The Last Battle, from the Chronicles of Narnia. Lewis invites us to enter the manger scene in a fresh way. Now, I want you to think about this. By faith, let's go inside our Savior's stable and see for ourselves how good and enormous Jesus' incarnation really is. And so here it is. It seems then, said Turian, smiling himself, that the stable scene from within and the stable scene from without are two different places. Yes, said the Lord Diggory, its inside is bigger than its outside. Now think about that. Yes, said Queen Lucy, in our world too, a stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world. It was the first time she had spoken, and from the thrill of her voice, Turian now knew why. She was drinking everything in more deeply than the others. She had been too happy to speak. Now think about that. There's a lot to think about here. Lord Jesus, you conclude with Diggory, inside your unique birthing unit was much bigger than its outside, and may we with Lucy become too happy to speak as we drink in the implications of the gospel more deeply. So there's a lot going on here. And how we move through a week like we've been in. And I can tell you that as I stand here, Monday I called Eric, and I said, Eric, this cold that I have has been hanging on in a cough. And I said, I don't want to get to the end of the week and have to call someone and say, I can't do this. And graciously, Eric said, well, let's wait till Wednesday. And by Wednesday, I was feeling better, but uncertain. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in situations where you've made a decision to do something, but then all of a sudden things start to happen, circumstances, and you're, can I do this? But Wednesday, I said, Lord, if I'm going to do this, trusting in the Lord, then you're going to have to give me some assurance here. And immediately, the Holy Spirit says, you will be ready. Now, you might ask me how I know that. I can only tell you that I believe that. If he's asked me to do something, then he's going to give me what I need to do it. And so my prayer is the same. As Linda said to me this morning, are you ready? I said, I've been ready. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I don't have any choice in that. And so This is a prayer that I want to share with you as I move on into this passage of Scripture. Our world is desperate for you to stabilize all things, Lord. We are so glad you came to us, are presently ruling over us, and are coming again for us. We pray in your great and gracious name. Amen. Now, that's a three-line prayer. But in that prayer, there is a lot being said. And when we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, I've tried everything I know. I've done everything I can do. Now I've got to lean on you. Well, I'm telling you, you just took the first step in the right direction. I can tell you from experience that every bad decision I made in my life came from impulse or not being able to wait on the Lord. Now, maybe your experience is different. So I'd ask us all to let us follow and listen to the Word together. The Word. The answer to life, the giver of life, is the Word of God. There is no other. I'm sorry to tell you this, to inform you of this, but our problems will not be solved in Washington or in some other country's capital or whatever you want to call it. It's been going on since the beginning of time. And here we are, and some would call Holy Week, Passover Week. We're 5 days before the Passover. And as I went through this passage, I began to think, Jesus is at Bethany. I want you to think about this. I'm going to use that word a lot today. That worked really well with my kids years ago. I found out if I just kept repeating something, they'd finally say, Dad, I get it. I get it. Please don't say that anymore. I get it. Well, you're going to hear that a lot. So be prepared. And so when we think about what's going on, and Jesus is here at Bethany, and that he is in the perfect, perfect will of God. He is moving toward the cross just a few days away. And I'm thinking about that, and I thought, Bethany. And he's going to Jerusalem. How far is that? Well, I looked it up, and I live exactly 2 miles from our parking lot. Bethany to Jerusalem is 2 miles. Now, I didn't walk to church this morning, but I could have. But what I have discovered is when I take the dog out walking, if I walk a certain area there, if I do that 4 times, then I've walked 2 miles. Now, 2 miles is a nice number to me. I like a 2-mile walk. And so, when I thought about that, now I don't know how long it took him to take that 2 miles, but if you just go out and walk, it'll take you about maybe 30 minutes. Depends how fast you walk. And then I discovered something. When was the last time I actually walked someplace and thought about something besides getting there? What was I seeing along the way? And it reminded me of a few years ago when I had a different dog. And we were walking, and there was a certain path that we followed every day. And for whatever reason, this one day, he decides he wants to go farther. You say, well, how did the dog tell you that? Well, he didn't tell me. He just kept pulling. That's the way a dog does. And so I noticed as we went further, I'll see, well, how far can we go? And I noticed I've done a little painting. And I realized as I moved past our original point where I was focused on all his little stops, you ever notice when you got a dog, they have all these little stops. They got to reclaim their territory every day. Well, once we got beyond that, I noticed something. As we were passing the woods, I started hearing things I hadn't heard before. I started seeing things that I hadn't seen before. I started to see the shadowing in the trees. I started to see those things that I would put in a picture. And if you've ever done that, know what I'm talking about. And that's what I'm trying to say is that to get into this message, we have so many things going on that grabs our attention that do we actually stop and take time to think? As the Lord showed me in His Scripture how many years ago when I thought I had lost that ability to even have a clear mind, and I begged God to give me something that would help me. And He gave me Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14. Look for the good in the land of the living. You have to look for it. You have to lean on Jesus. You have to trust Him. And so, having said that, let's listen to the word together. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees. Y'all got hold them palm branches up. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him, crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" And they were just cheering, and "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, even the King of Israel." And that's why we've passed out the palm branches today, to remember that. But we also need to remember the cross, because in a week we're going to be celebrating the resurrection. And with Him saying, "It is finished." So what is finished? Psalms 118, 25, and 26 says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." In Zephaniah, the prophet, "The Lord has taken away the judgment against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil." In John, he speaks and says, Nathanael asked him, "Rabbi, are you the Son of God? You are the King of Israel." And then the Jews, again, those who were hailing, thought that they were hailing the arrival of their king. But these people were praising God for giving them a king, had the wrong idea about Jesus. They were deaf to the words of their prophets and blind to Jesus' real mission. Again, I'm reminded of Jesus healing the blind man. He touched him and he healed him, and the man saw things. How did he see them? Trees. So then Jesus went over, he touched him again. They began to lean on Jesus, trusting him, and he touched him again in his eye. Paraphrasing that a little bit, but what happened? He could see clearly. So when we're moving through our day to day and things seem impossible, when it's hard to see the end of the beginning, let us trust in Jesus. So the Passover celebration comes from the Psalms 112 through 118. And I want you to listen to this. There it is again. Listen. But I heard Maria talk about a song. And she challenges her with the idea that take this and take it into your heart, into your mind. And that's where Jesus wants to be, in our heart and in our mind. He comes, we accept Him, we receive Him, and He fills us with His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us when we allow that relationship that we have with Him to overflow in our relationships with each other. That's what he's called us to do, to come together in his spirit. John just took a trip to Chad, but he went with Dr. Bartholomew, and there were probably other folks there working, and they did this together. And then he mentioned the ladies and how when they actually, they think in terms of a group together. And that's how God wants you and I to be, together in a relationship. And so that when we sing these songs, if you go down through Psalms 112 through 118, and you're thinking of a list of songs, which these were, and the Jewish people were celebrating with these songs, and I'm just going to give you the titles that they have listed in the ESV Bible, but the subtitles are, "The Righteous Shall Never Be Moved." Sounds like a good song to me. Or, "Who Is Like the Lord Our God? Tremble at the presence of God," in 114. "To your name be give glory. I love the Lord." Wow. Makes you want to start shouting and singing. I would do that, except you don't want me singing. "The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever." That's what healthy relationships are about. That's why God has called his people together to be a family. For healthy relations. So when it became apparent that Jesus was not going to fulfill their hopes, now listen to this, many people turned against him. What? How could they do that? You know, as Christians, I've heard that times. Well, those people over there, the one I'm most familiar with was when I started going into the jail. I had Christian brothers and sisters would say, "Why are you wasting your time in there? Why? If we're following Christ, we're not wasting our time. It's his time. And he's called us to not only give money sacrificially, to give time sacrificially, to give ourselves sacrificially." And so moving on with the scriptures, and here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. "And Jesus found a young donkey, and he sat on it. Just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey colt.'" Now, I don't know if you've ever been around animals that much, but if you take a young colt or a young anything, they don't usually just stand still waiting for you to get on them. I remember one time in Nebraska, there was this, they called it a horse pony. It was bigger than a pony, but smaller than a horse. And my father-in-law-to-be was there with this horse, and he was a cowboy. And I said, "Something about riding that horse." And he says, "Oh, you can't ride that horse." I said, "What do you mean I can't ride that horse?" I said, "I can ride a horse." "No," he said, "you won't ride that horse." He said, "It'll take you right down underneath that tree and knock you off." He said, "Unless you really know how to ride a horse, that's what he'll do." Well, I got on the horse. He took me right down to the tree, and I was laying on the ground. Like I said, my impulsive decisions were never real good. "Their king came to them, but not the kind of king they had expected. He did not arrive as a political ruler, might on a mighty horse or in a chariot. Rather, Jesus came to them in the way prophesied by Zechariah." Again, it's the Word of God that explains to us what's going on. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Could someone please get me a cup of water or a glass of water, please? So I want to emphasize the humble servant. Israel's king would be a humble servant, not an earthly conqueror. He would not be exalted to a throne, but lifted up on a cross. I remind us again here, the cross is now empty. The Spirit of God is here with us today. He was with John and Chad. He was with every one of us this week, no matter what was going on. Amen. Verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written. Written. About him and had been done to him. And so prior to Jesus' resurrection, his followers did not understand the significance of his entry, or as some would call it, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now let's catch this clearly. The Holy Spirit would open their eyes to the meaning of the Old Testament scriptures and remind them of this and other messianic predictions. So again, their eyes were going to be opened because they were seeing what was on the outside. The Holy Spirit was revealing them to them through the Word. It tells us what is on the inside. Now that is a lot to take in, because there are so many things that we like to get into that conversation. Well, this is the reason this happened. Has anyone here ever done that? And you find out later, well, that wasn't the reason it happened. The reason it happened, it might be because you made an impulse decision or you was impatient. Maybe I'm just talking about myself, because I've been all those things many times. So we move on. In John 14, 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And we too look back and see the Lord will clearly, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to repeat that. We too can look back and see the Lord's will more clearly with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, those are things that need to be thought about. And the Lord has us right where He wants us. When we get to that point where we say, "Well, Lord, I've tried everything else, and now I'm going to lean on you." My words of encouragement to you are simply this: do it now rather than later. Matter of fact, do it, as the scriptures tell us, to pray continually, to rejoice always, it says in Thessalonians 5, 16 and 7. Rejoice always, pray continually, and does anyone remember? Come on, I need help on this. We need to give thanks in all circumstances, for it is the will of the Father in Christ Jesus. He always brings us back to that point where we need to be. So in verse 17 and 18, the crowd had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to bear witness, and the reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. I've heard that a number of times. If I just seen a sign, then I would believe. No. No. Many years ago, I lived up at Tiffin, and right over 17 miles from us, there was, anybody seen these big, huge storage tanks that they put oil in, petroleum? Anyhow, there was one of those, and somehow there was a way of a light was shining, and at night, somebody determined that this shadow that was on this big storage tank was Jesus. And I'm telling you, they had news coverage on this. This went on for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. They had to bring the police out to direct traffic. People were driving from 50, 60, 100, 200 miles away to see Jesus. A shadow. Well, you can take that for what it's worth, but folks, Jesus is here. If you believe him and you trust in him, he's in you. Listen to his word. And so these, like many today, they flocked to Jesus because they had heard about his great miracle in raising Lazarus from the dead. But their adoration was short-lived and their commitment shallow, for in a few days they would do nothing to stop his crucifixion. But yet he requires the true believer to sacrifice their life to follow him. Now, if you don't get anything else from this message, remember this. Devotion based on curiosity or popularity fades quickly. There's a lot of show going on out in this world, in our country. I've heard it many times and participated in it. Whatever it takes to get someone to Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you there's only one thing that will bring someone to Jesus, and that is God the Father Almighty, because Jesus said that whomever the Father gives me, I will not lose. When someone becomes under conviction of his word, and when they hear the word and they say, I believe, that's their first step. Now, some might say, well, all right. I'm not being critical of anything here. And I love to worship with good music. I love to hear a good fiery preacher. But what I discovered was, is the day that the Lord had my attention, I simply went out in my car and I turned on the radio. And I want to tell you, I didn't have a spiritual moment because Billy Graham was on there giving an altar call. That's all I heard. And I'd only heard about Billy Graham. That's all I need. And I'm just ready to start dialing that radio. I want some good old honky-tonk. That was what I was at, where I was at then. The only problem was I couldn't turn it. The radio wouldn't turn. You can take that for what it's worth, but it wouldn't turn. For the next week, I worked all week long, and I can't get this out of my mind. I can't get it out of my mind. And actually, that Sunday I was working, I'm actually working my schedule so that I'm out of there at 10 o'clock so I can hear the whole message. I'm standing here today because that radio wouldn't turn. It's not true. Because the Holy Spirit took a hold of my heart, and I came under conviction. I said, Lord, what's this all about? And then he began to show me. How did this all come out of these verses? Well, listen to them. I had as many doubts as anyone ever had. And there is that experience, and there's things that you try. But let us look to Luke 8:13, and it says, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, received it with joy. And I did that. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time, testing will fall. They will fall away. Now, some back in the day when I was young, that was called backsliding. I haven't heard that term for quite a while. But I quit going to church. I quit doing things. But the Spirit was there. And it was drawing. And that's the power of the Word of God. And keep in mind this little 30-minute walk, this journey that Jesus is taking to the cross, as he moves toward the cross, he's also teaching his disciples. There's people there cheering for him. He's not seeing that. He's walking and moving in the will of the Father. It's always the will of the Father. And I have an idea that if you're anything like I am, and I'm using a lot of I's in there today. I'm sorry if that is too many, but he does not give up. He is faithful. And he is there. And when that conviction comes, and when it all changed was when I went into this word and began to pray and to seek his face. And out of that, I could tell you 1,000 more stories. The only one that matters is today I'm here with the family that God has placed me with, and to God be the glory. I can't think of a better place that I would rather be than maybe with my own children, but I'd love to have them here. The point is they are in the God's family too, and that's what brings joy to my heart. True warmth in my heart comes from knowing him and being faithful to him. And so we finish up with verse 19. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone for him." So the world was there, and this is ironic because this is what the Pharisees saw. They were looking on the outside. They were losing control of their people, their religious people. They were concerned. And that's what the world is. It's concerned. They want to control for whatever that is worth. But this is ironic, for most of those people did not really believe in Jesus. And that's the story that I've been telling. Is there was a point where I was following Jesus, and I want to put myself on that same path that the disciples were on, because Jesus has told them that to tarry, and I'll pour out my Holy Spirit on you. But we're still 40, 50 days away from the ascension. But then they knew. The Holy Spirit had already revealed it to them. And the good news is most of you here, I pray at least that most of you here realize who Jesus Christ is and that you're following him. And if you're not right where you think you need to be, just go and talk to him. Lord, help me. I'm standing here very fortunate. Now, I know there may be someone in here older than I am, but I'm 82. I can't tell you how excited I get at 82 as a follower of Jesus Christ. That I can come along beside some of our young men. I think there's some old men in here. In any case, come along beside all of you. We need to bow every day and thank God, no matter what our circumstances are, that he's placed us together. Because, folks, with whatever this world has to offer us, there's only one way through this trials and tribulations of life, and that's following Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Now, at this point, I just feel or sense within my spirit, actually sensed this morning when I sat down and was looking at some of these things, there may be a few testimonies here. You know, I'd give you a little testimony about how I came to the Lord. How did the Lord get a hold of you? When was that moment you actually realized that Jesus is who he says he is? Anyone. I don't want to put anyone on the spot. But I know. Mitch.
The Lord was after me for about 10 months, and I resisted. But on November 16, 1974, that's when I gave my life to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Sometime in the spring of 1970, as a junior in high school, I don't have the exact date because coming from a Roman Catholic background, I wasn't sure And I thought that after I sinned, I'd have to ask him into my life again, but it took me a couple months, but sometimes in the spring of 1970.
Yeah, good morning again. Back in 1974, a junior in high school, went to a Billy Graham movie crusade. Yeah, I was in Upper Arlington, actually, with my family and my Sunday school group from the Presbyterian church I was at. You already knew I had that background. And I was the first one to come forward when after they had the altar call after the movie. And if you know about Billy Graham, it was all by the book. I mean, he had it all down. It was good. It was good. But my motive wasn't quite right, and I think I did mostly to just appear brave in front of my friends. So even though I did the sinner's prayer, because that's what Billy Graham does, I was still looking, still searching after that. So I was into Zen Buddhism and, you know, sayings of love. And the Buddhism has a lot of love words, by the way. They also have ones that mess with your brain, like the sound of one hand clapping. I love that. I said, I have no idea what that means, but I just loved it. You know, wrote it down in a book. So if anybody knows, they can tell me, but it doesn't matter much right now. But then the Christmas break, it was my senior year, 74, 75, right at the Christmas break, I had picked up a big book at the library on Zen Buddhism, a big fat book. And as I was reading through that, the author tried to back it up with scripture. She said a lot of things from scripture. I said, really? This boring book that I, you know, even though I joined the Presbyterian Church, it really wasn't alive to me. You know, sermons are what you pass notes on, you know, talk. And it became alive. I looked at that and I said, okay, I'm going to have to check this out. Something I think is really cool, like Zen Buddhism, is actually backed up by the Bible. Serious? Mm-hmm. And I went there and started reading it. And the context was 180 degrees out of what the Bible was saying. She was just really tweaking it big time. And that's when it started becoming alive to me, and I guess God cashed in on my confession of faith the year before, even though it was kind of tainted by wrong motives or somewhat. And I remember starting to pray in my head, not out loud, so there's interesting there. And I said, well, I need to just talk to God. I need to come to him in my own way, at my own understanding. And these stream of thoughts interfered. With, you know, they tried to talk me out of it. You know, the devil was very active. And I said, well, I've always been kind of true to what was really in my heart as best I could. And I completed the prayer, and then the opposition was gone. It was gone. So it was almost like my salvation was a two-stage salvation, one with all the right words, not the best motive. The second stage was the great motive, but no words. So figure that one out if you want. And after that, I went back to school, you know, after Christmas break, and there was a friend named Doug who gave me a New American Standard Bible, which is what I read from this morning. And I started going to a thing called the Fish House, which some of you know is a college campus ministry on the Ohio State campus down there in Columbus. And I just grew from there. And then I went to a Worthington Grace Brethren church for a good while, too, and met my wife there. So that's my story.
Amen.
It made a difference.
Amen.
Your life has to change. Your life has to change. I think that's the bottom line, and it did. And that's a short version.
Well, that's encouraging, and I know, and listening to testimonies, there's those who were actually raised in a Christian home and can't really remember the day that they came to the Lord, but I would encourage that. I've heard folks say, well, I don't have one of those testimonies that dramatic or anything. But what I find in following Christ is that anything I can look at that shows stability in family and relationships that's been ongoing is something that we can all draw from. And I believe that's God's plan. In his family, we draw from each other. And even in the best of circumstances, there's still the trials and tribulations of life. And so to move into the conclusion of this message and to give us some more to think about, in Revelations 19 and 16, it says that on his robe, and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is who he says he is. And when we share our message, that's our message, that he is who he says he is. And when someone says, well, I don't believe in that, but he says he is who he is. I'm saying he is who he is. That's what I believe. You don't have to defend it. Just make your take your position of what you believe. So in conclusion, people who have set out to discredit him have ended up bowing before him in worship. Praise God. The Pharisees were right when they said, this is getting us nowhere. They were only succeeding as far as their plan coincided with God's plan. People can spend a lifetime resisting and rejecting Christ only to discover that they have accomplished nothing but their own destruction. Hard words, but it's the truth. And so Jesus said, and when we speak of revelations, we can go back to Matthew, Mark, and Jesus said to each one of us, come, follow me. And in the following is where we discover by faith and by trusting and by leaning that, as John brought out better than anything I can say, God provided not only what he needed, but more. Praise God. And so let us remember this week, let us follow Jesus to the cross and to the resurrection of our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Jesus had one mission, that is to fulfill the will of the Father and to follow by faith. James 2:8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. And one more passage. For he who is in you, he who dwells in you, is greater than who dwells in the world. And yet there's this constant call that we have the answers. I'm always reminded of the one that told me if I take this pill, that I'll be younger. It doesn't work like that, folks. You all know that. So in the circle groups, I know this time's been shortened a little bit, but are you seeking his kingdom's heart or yours? You know the difference. His desires or yours? We know the difference. Do you want his plan or yours? That ought to create some lively discussion in the circle groups this morning. I hope it does. So if you would all stand that can, and the circle groups we have in the kitchen and out here and upstairs, and if you're new here today, we can get you directions. The benediction, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and may the peace of Christ fill you this day. Christ is the source of our joy and gladness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.